In a world increasingly dominated by digital distractions, our ability to truly pay attention has never been more valuable or more endangered. Rob Walker's The Art of Noticing arrives at a critical moment when many of us feel our attention being fractured and commodified. The book has struck a chord with creative professionals and mindfulness practitioners alike, with figures from designer Debbie Millman to productivity expert Cal Newport praising its practical wisdom. What makes this work particularly timely is how it transforms the abstract concept of paying attention into concrete practices that anyone can implement. As Walker himself notes, the difference between merely looking and truly seeing could be the key to reclaiming our most precious resource, our attention, in an age designed to capture and monetize it. We've reached what might be called peak distraction in modern society. The average smartphone user checks their device approximately 150 times daily, roughly once every 6 waking minutes, creating what researchers describe as polyconsciousness, a divided awareness split between physical and digital realms. This fragmentation of attention isn't entirely new. As far back as 1903, sociologist George Simmel was lamenting the overwhelming stimulation of modern life, while economist Herbert Simon warned in 1971 that a wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. These early observers recognized a fundamental truth about human cognition. Our ability to process information has natural limits. What's different today is both the scale and intentionality of the attention economy. Tech companies employ thousands of engineers specifically to make their products more addictive, using sophisticated psychological techniques like variable reward schedules and social validation loops. Apps and platforms are meticulously designed to trigger dopamine releases, creating powerful feedback cycles that keep users coming back for more. Meanwhile, our environments grow increasingly cluttered with advertisements, notifications, and endless content streams competing for our limited mental bandwidth. The average person now encounters between 4,000 and 10,000 advertisements daily, each vying for a slice of our cognitive resources. The cost of this distraction extends beyond mere annoyance or lost productivity. Studies show that constantly divided attention impairs cognitive performance by up to 40%, increases stress levels, and diminishes our capacity for deep thought and meaningful connection. Research from Microsoft suggests that the average human attention span has dropped from 12 seconds in 2000 to just 8 seconds today, shorter than that of a goldfish. Even more concerning, many of us have forgotten what it feels like to be fully present and engaged with our surroundings. Children growing up in this environment show increasing rates of attention-related disorders, with some experts suggesting our relationship with technology is fundamentally rewiring our neural circuits. The good news? Humans possess the unique ability to outmaneuver our own base instincts through metacognition and deliberate practice. While technology and modern life have created unprecedented challenges to sustained attention, we can reclaim our focus through intentional strategies and environmental design. The art of noticing isn't just about resisting distraction. It's about rediscovering the joy of deep engagement with the world around us. Neuroscience shows that our brains remain remarkably plastic throughout our lives, meaning we can train ourselves to resist the pull of constant distraction and cultivate deeper, more meaningful forms of attention. Most of us believe we see the world as it is, but research suggests otherwise. Our brains process only a tiny fraction of available visual information, approximately 40 bits of the estimated 11 million bits we encounter every second, filtering out what seems unimportant based on past experience and immediate goals. This creates what psychologists call inattentional blindness, our tendency to miss what we're not specifically looking for, even when it's right before our eyes. Consider the famous invisible gorilla study, where participants watching a basketball passing video completely missed a person in a gorilla suit walking through the scene. Similar experiments have shown radiologists missing obvious anomalies in scans and experienced drivers failing to notice motorcycles in plain view. This isn't a flaw in our perception, but a feature. Our brains evolve to focus on what matters and ignore the rest. The problem arises when this filtering becomes too rigid, causing us to overlook potentially valuable information and opportunities. Active seeing requires breaking through these perceptual filters through deliberate practice and heightened awareness. Artists have long understood this. Painter Claude Monet would study the same haystack or cathedral facade at different times of day, creating dozens of paintings that captured subtle variations in light, shadow, and color that most people would miss. Similarly, naturalist John Muir could identify dozens of plant species in a patch of wilderness that might look like undifferentiated greenery to untrained eyes. Modern experts like bird watchers and crime scene investigators develop similarly refined observational abilities through years of focused practice. This capacity for heightened observation isn't limited to artistic or scientific geniuses. It's a skill anyone can develop through consistent practice. When we shift from passive to active seeing, the world becomes richer and more textured. A walk through familiar streets reveals architectural details never before noticed. Decorative cornices, unique brickwork patterns, hidden courtyards. Everyday objects take on new significance when examined closely, revealing design choices and manufacturing processes. Even routine interactions with others become more nuanced when we truly pay attention to facial expressions, body language, and subtle shifts in tone of voice. The transition begins with intention and can be developed through specific practices. Rather than letting your gaze drift passively across your surroundings, deliberately direct your attention using techniques like the five senses scan, systematically noting what you can see, hear, smell, feel, and taste in any given moment. Ask yourself, what am I not seeing? What details have I overlooked? What patterns might emerge if I look more carefully? What stories do these details tell? This questioning stance transforms observation from an automatic process to a conscious practice, one that yields increasingly rewarding results with time and deepens our connection to the world around us. Professional observers often employ specific strategies to enhance their seeing. Scientists sketch their observations, forcing deeper engagement with details. Detective work involves systematic scanning patterns to ensure nothing is missed. Artists frequently use viewfinders to isolate and study specific elements of a scene. These structured approaches to observation can be adapted for everyday use, helping us break through our habitual filters and discover the extraordinary in the ordinary. Developing what psychologist Alexandra Horowitz calls a search image, a visual expectation that helps find meaning in chaos, transforms ordinary observation into a treasure hunt. Security cameras, payphones, standpipes, neighborhood watch signs, ghost signs on buildings, architectural details, utility markers. Once you begin looking for specific objects, they appear with surprising frequency, revealing patterns previously invisible. This phenomenon, known as the Bader-Meinhof effect, or frequency illusion, demonstrates how intention shapes perception. This practice isn't merely entertaining, it fundamentally reshapes how we experience familiar environments. One student committed to noticing something new every day on her two-block walk to class. Within weeks, her routine path had transformed into a constantly evolving landscape of discovery, from seasonal changes in window displays to subtle shifts in graffiti patterns, from the morning habits of local shopkeepers to the changing rhythms of street life. Another practiced color walks, allowing herself to be guided solely by colors that caught her attention, creating spontaneous journeys through otherwise familiar neighborhoods. One such walk led her through a series of yellow discoveries. A canary-colored door, weathered brass fixtures, wild dandelions pushing through sidewalk cracks, and sun-bleached awnings. Collections offer another powerful framework for focused observation, furniture designer George Nelson documented arrows, public clocks, and manhole covers, creating detailed taxonomies of urban infrastructure. Design Within Reach founder Rob Forbes photographed house numbers, sewer tiles, and bike locks across Amsterdam, revealing how these mundane objects reflect cultural values and local aesthetics. These collections aren't just accumulations of images, but records of attention, evidence of a mind actively engaging with its surroundings rather than sleepwalking through them. Each photograph becomes a node in a larger network of meaning, connecting individual observations to broader patterns of human behavior and design evolution. Even seemingly identical objects reveal endless variations under close inspection. Photographer Dave Walker's series of telephone pole close-ups captures the subtle poetry of decay, rust patterns, and accumulated staples, each pole telling its own story of community notices, lost pets, and garage sales. Jacob Harris's collection of blue sky photographs demonstrates how tight constraints can transform mundane observations into meditative practice. What initially appears uniform reveals infinite variations in color, cloud formations, and atmospheric conditions. The repetition becomes less about creativity and more about presence, turning everyday encounters into opportunities for mindfulness and deeper understanding. Perhaps most powerful is the practice of looking really, really slowly. Art historian Jennifer L. Roberts assigned students to observe a single artwork for 3 hours, an exercise that initially meets resistance but reveals profound insights. While vision seems immediate, this extended observation forces students to notice details, orders, and relationships that take time to perceive. Students report discovering hidden figures, subtle color transitions, and compositional relationships that remained invisible in casual viewing. This approach works beyond art appreciation. Looking slowly at almost anything, from tree bark to building facades to sidewalk cracks, reveals layers of complexity and meaning that rewards patient attention. Vision dominates our conscious awareness, but true noticing engages all senses. John Cage's famous composition 4:33, 4 minutes and 33 seconds of performed silence, revolutionized how we think about listening by drawing attention to ambient sounds typically filtered out of awareness. Setting a timer and sitting in silence for this precise duration reveals a surprising plenitude of what happens in what we typically consider silence. Sound offers particularly rich opportunities for discovery. Try following the direction that seems quietest during a walk, creating a sound map of your neighborhood, or focusing on a single instrument within a familiar song. Radio producer Mark Weidenbaum takes students on sound walks, tours focused on sounds rather than sights, from retail soundtracks to street chatter to the private silence of exclusive buildings. Composer Pauline Oliveros developed deep listening after performing in an underground cistern with extraordinary reverb that demanded intense sonic attention. Her practice encompasses remembered sounds, dream sounds, and imagined sounds, the whole space-time continuum of sounds. Her 1974 Sonic Meditations offered poetic instructions like, "Walk so silently that the bottom of your feet become ears." Our olfactory sense, though often neglected, provides another dimension of experience. Urban planner Victoria Henshaw organized smell walks in cities like Sheffield, England, revealing how people often recognized familiar scents they'd never consciously registered before. Artist Cecil Tolas collected neighborhood scents in Kansas City using specialized equipment and created scratch and sniff cards, while Kate McLean has mapped smells in cities worldwide. Even our sense of touch deserves attention. Designer Carla Diana recommends tapping, poking, stroking, and scratching to appreciate variations in texture, temperature, and movement. Compare natural and human-made surfaces, taking inspiration from architecture critic Ada Louise Huxtable's book title, Kicked a Building Lately? Beyond the traditional five senses lie what Marcel Duchamp called infra-thin perceptions, subtle experiences that defy easy categorization. Examples include the warmth of a recently vacated seat, the swoosh of email being sent, the smell of a mouth that just released tobacco smoke, or the heat of freshly printed paper. These liminal sensations exist at the boundaries of perception, requiring heightened awareness to detect. Our habitual routes through familiar spaces often lead to perceptual blindness. We stop seeing what we pass every day. Changing how we move through the world can dramatically alter what we notice. Jim Kudal suggests deliberately taking different routes to common destinations to avoid the zombie commuter state where we steal time from ourselves, arriving with no recollection of the journey. More radical approaches include the derive or drift championed by the Lettrist International in 1950s Paris, dispensing with usual reasons for movement to follow the pull of the landscape. Try severing connections between money and movement by spending a day traveling your hometown without spending a dime, seeing how it changes where you go and what you notice. Even mundane spaces like big box stores can become sites of discovery with the right mindset. In Play Anything, Ian Bogost describes watching his young daughter transform mall tiles into a game, avoiding stepping on boundaries. We can recapture this ability by paying close, foolish, even absurd attention to our surroundings. Next time you're at Walmart, play Big Box Archaeologist. Challenge yourself to find the most absurd product, the most poetic, the saddest, or the one most revealing of contemporary America. Urban exploration offers another perspective, focusing on temporary, obsolete, abandoned, or derelict spaces, from closed hospitals to sewer networks, foreclosed estates to bridges and bunkers. While physically risky and legally questionable, this place hacking responds to cities where sensory overload and increased securitization have become the norm. Even food can be a vehicle for exploration. Pulitzer Prize-winning food writer Jonathan Gold built his career by systematically exploring uncelebrated restaurants. As a young man, he decided to eat at every establishment on Los Angeles' Pico Boulevard, not because it had famous eateries, but precisely because it was unremarked, yet at the center of entry-level capitalism. Poet Marie Howe offers a simpler approach. Record 10 metaphor-free observations about the actual world each week. Simple descriptions without comparison or interpretation, like, I saw a water glass on a brown tablecloth, and the light came through it in three places. The challenge is resisting our instinct to compare things or interpret them. To resist metaphor is very difficult, Howe explains, because you have to actually endure the thing itself. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. Silence isn't just about not speaking. It's about cultivating a deeper awareness of others through intentional listening. As one Trappist monk from Quebec's Oka Abbey explained, they speak only to convey necessary information. The first word of their Rule of St. Benedict is listen, reflecting a profound understanding that true wisdom often comes through receptivity rather than expression. Challenge yourself to speak only what's absolutely necessary for an entire day. We often treat conversation as a competitive sport, mentally rehearsing our next comment while others are speaking, analyzing their words for debate opportunities, rather than understanding. Imagine limiting yourself to 50 spoken words tomorrow. You'd listen differently, attending carefully to every word, discovering that the less you say, the more you hear. This practice reveals how much of our speech is unnecessary, driven by ego, habit, or social anxiety, rather than genuine need for communication. Sometimes we must practice truly selfless listening, giving others our complete attention without interrupting, judging, or inserting our opinions. One powerful technique comes from a 66-year-old accountant who believes there's no greater gift than genuinely listening to another person. His method? Deep breathing. When listening, especially when feeling defensive or reactive, he takes deep breaths, allowing 3 full seconds for each inhale and exhale. This ancient practice reduces cortisol production during stressful moments and creates a natural pause before responding. That breath stops time, he explains, sharpening hearing, attuning you to nonverbal cues like facial expressions and body language, and opening emotional receptivity to the speaker's underlying message. Even naturally shy people can find inspiration through stranger interactions. Writer Keo Stark advocates for breaking the social norm of civil inattention, our silent agreement not to bother one another in public spaces. She suggests starting small, help someone who looks lost, engage when someone makes a casual comment about the weather, or initiate by asking questions about shared experiences. Simple openings like, I couldn't help noticing, or isn't this place amazing, can lead to meaningful exchanges. The key is asking a question and then being quiet. Give people a chance to fill their own silences. This interviewer's technique works because once someone feels truly heard, they often can't stop talking. The relief of being genuinely listened to creates a natural flow of conversation that requires minimal prompting. Connection doesn't always require words, though. Stark shares a poetic example of a student who, sitting next to someone also wearing headphones on the subway, simply offered to trade headphones briefly. After a few minutes of listening to each other's music, one person's classical playlist mixing with the other's indie rock, they switched back without exchanging a single word, having shared an intimate moment of connection through music alone. This practice of deep noticing extends beyond verbal communication. It includes observing subtle shifts in tone, reading emotional undercurrents, and recognizing when silence itself speaks volumes. By cultivating this awareness, we develop not just better listening skills, but a deeper capacity for human connection. Unitasking, the deliberate focus on a single activity, offers an antidote to multitasking culture. While there's nothing wrong with entertainment in ants' chores, philosopher Ian Bogost argues for giving mundane tasks your complete attention. The more you're drowning in familiarity, the better the fun is, he explains. The revelation comes not from you, but from openness to the task itself. It wasn't you who had to come up with that meaning. It was given to you by the world. Being alone in public often feels uncomfortable, but research contradicts our anxieties about solo experiences. One study had college students visit art galleries alone or in groups. Those going solo predicted they'd enjoy it less, but afterward, researchers found no statistically significant difference in enjoyment between solo visitors and groups. French writer Georges Perec coined infraordinary to describe what's opposite to the extraordinary events dominating our attention. The daily papers talk of everything except the daily, he lamented. His boldest response was An Attempt at Exhausting a Place in Paris, 1975, where he spent 3 days cataloging everything visible in a Parisian plaza, postal vans, children with dogs, pedestrians, transforming mundane observations into everyday poetry. Creating inventories offers another approach to solitary observation. Instead of mindlessly waiting or scrolling through social media when bored, catalog your surroundings. Notice each object and consider its purpose. This simple act of cataloging focuses attention on things typically ignored and serves as a foundation for creative work. Artist Kate Bingaman Burt has her students list and draw everything they're carrying or everything they want to discard. Even more revealing can be inventories of things you didn't buy. Immaterial experiences like worries or celebrity sightings, or absurdly detailed catalogs of possessions. Matt Manhattan exemplifies this by documenting every item he owns, from shirts to paper towels, in detailed spreadsheets with prices, acquisition dates, and photographs. The concept of empathy originated in art contemplation before psychology imported it into popular culture. Philosopher Theodore Lipps developed the notion of Einsehen, or inseeing, a form of conscious observation that allows us to connect emotionally with what we perceive. This practice suggests we can develop empathy not just for people, but for objects through deep, attentive observation. When facing a rock, one should stare deeply into its essence until feeling its stony weight forming inside oneself, seeing not just with the eyes, but with the skin. The art of noticing isn't a destination, but a journey, one that transforms how we experience every aspect of our lives. It begins with simple practices, but gradually reshapes our relationship with the world around us. As we develop the habit of paying attention, we discover that wonder isn't found in exotic locations or extraordinary circumstances, but in the texture of everyday existence. Timothy Speed Levitch offers a transformative approach to urban annoyances. Connoisseur that honk. During his rush hour tour through Grand Central Terminal and Midtown Manhattan, Levitch instructs participants to adopt the mindset of a private Greek chorus, observing but not committing, and to taste each hunk based on its voluminousness, its intensity, context, and duration. This practice converts irritations into objects of fascination. The real trick is learning to cruise, immediately appreciating beauty around you, rather than commute, assuming everyone is in your way. This Lebenskünstler approach, approaching life with an artist's zest, allows us to find vacation in mundane moments. As Levitch says, appreciating the beauty of the outside world ultimately means appreciating the beauty inside. Making appointments with yourself ensures that noticing doesn't get crowded out by busy schedules. Comedian Mike Birbiglia realized he was scheduling meetings with everyone except himself, so he wrote a note, "Mike, you have an appointment at Cafe Peddler at 7 a.m. with your mind." Similarly, Julia Cameron's popular book, The Artist's Way, prescribes weekly artist dates, solo expeditions to explore personal interests, and enchant yourself. Perhaps most fundamentally, noticing flourishes when we care for something. Student Miguel Olivares responded to an assignment to practice paying attention by making a planter for a cactus, reasoning that by nurturing or caring for something, you pay more attention to it. Though unexpected, this perfectly captured the essence of noticing. Caring is at the very heart of it all. These exercises and meditations are designed to help you decide what you want to care about, and thus what and whom you want to care for and attend to. In a world increasingly designed to fragment our attention and commodify our focus, the simple act of noticing becomes not just a creative practice, but a radical one, a reclamation of our most precious resource and a rediscovery of what makes life worth living. The art of noticing isn't about seeing everything, an impossible task, but about choosing what deserves our attention and giving it the care it deserves. In doing so, we transform not just our perception, but our lives, finding endless wonder in a world that never stops revealing itself to those willing to truly look.